Hello, and welcome to the Craft Brewed Music Podcast, the official podcast of Craft Brewed Music, the app that streams better music for serious listeners. Here we explore and get to know the creators of that music. I'm Brian Horner, founder and curator of Craft Brewed Music, and I'm joined by my friend and co-host Aaron Stamen, a Craft Brewed Music artist. Aaron and I had the pleasure of speaking with singer-songwriter Leslie Mendelson this episode. We explored her 2020 album, If You Can't Say Anything Nice, and we previewed the new single from her quarantine-era EP, In the Meantime, a cover of Joni Mitchell's People's Parties. We talk about it coming out next week, but that's because we talked last week. It's actually going to be out this Friday, February 19th. We're going to play that for you at the end here in its entirety. And we're going to start with the title track from If You Can't Say Anything Nice.
Why this record now? I think the material, it feels like a mirror of how I felt over the last few years. Because, you know, I recorded the music before the pandemic hit. It just happened to come out during last April. But a lot of my, I guess, just anxiety and fears and just overall questioning kind of came out on this record more than previous ones. I don't know why. Maybe it was just the time. I think, you know, we're just living in a world that's just full of anxiety. The last 4 years have been full of anxiety. You know, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, every now and then you get a break, but you know, with the 24-hour news cycle and how fast paced this world is, you know, you can really get caught up in it and you just, ugh. So I feel like I kind of went into a deep dive of those feelings and explored a little bit more of that aspect of my personality.
Well, yeah, that's something we were talking about as well. You know, certain songs didn't seem like they could have seen the light of day until one of the, you know, the second or the third album, you know, just because of the space that opened up there.
It's true. Like, yeah, there's, because the new album is a mixture of five new songs and five older songs, you know, not even that old, but, you know, over the last decade. Yeah, I guess it's old. So, you know, a song like Speed of Light was written probably 2011 or 12. Hmm. And I think I've tried to demo and record that song 8 times, including Nashville with like Nashville production, and just couldn't figure it out. And then just kind of stripping it down and giving it that space and kind of almost think like, what would David Bowie do? This thing with like that song, there's, I mean, maybe it's anytime I sing about like space or outer space or time, like I always think of David Bowie.
Pretty much, when I have any problem, I ask myself that same question.
Most times in life, either him or Bob Dylan. What would Bob Dylan do?
And so, and there's more kind of social commentary stuff creeps into If You Can't Say Anything Nice. Well, obviously. Yeah. As well, obviously, Would You Give Up Your Gun? Some other songs sound like they're kind of, you know, there's some messages in there.
Yeah, I think even just the title, If You Can't Say Anything Nice, All Come Together, which is the last song on the first side, it has been around for a while, but it felt like, for some reason, a theme that tied in together, because, you know, that's something that we desperately need to do. Mm-hmm. Is kind of find a way to communicate with people.
Together.
And that's a lot of the, even with Give Up Your Gun, it's not so much, I mean, I am anti-guns, but it's not about preaching about that. It's just asking the question, you know, with, there were so many school shootings and that was happening, and the concerts, and it was, there was just, it was, there was a time it was happening so much that I'm thinking about this country and I'm like, you know, what would it take for everybody to give up their guns? Like, you know, how close does it have to hit home before you would change any sort of policy? So that's, you know, just asking those questions.
Arms in the palms of your hands, every woman and man marching right up to the top of the hill and back down again. Would you give up your gun? Could you give up your gun to save someone? To save someone. Everybody knows it's the truth. No one can pretend it's a lie. The more things that can kill you, the greater chance you've got that you'll die. Would you give up your gun? Could you give up your gun to save someone? Save someone. I know you think it's your right. Who am I to tell you you're wrong? But one pull on the trigger and every right you got will be gone. Oh, would you give up your gun? Could you give up your gun to save someone? To save someone.
When you had amassed your new set of songs and some older songs, how did you come up with the concept of the vibe for that?
You know, just being in this time in the last 4 years has felt like a tinderbox. Just a lot of anxiety. I suffer also from depression and just kind of dealing with these things head on and singing about them for the first time in a way that I never had before. I need something to care about, which I think deals with depression head on, and just trying to find purpose. And that kind of felt like a very relevant song during the pandemic, because a lot of people, you know, so many people lost their jobs, and, you know, I mean, being an artist and not touring sucks, but at least you're still, you know, kind of trying to figure out how to make things work, even in a situation like this. And I feel lucky that I was able to do it, but there was days where I'm like, I don't know what to do with myself. And, you know, how do you find purpose when everything's kind of taken away from you?
I can't feel a thing for anything. Thinking that my mind desensitized. Care about.
And so going to these places, how has your audience received it?
Oh, I was so nervous to put this album out because it kind of went to a place that was very uncomfortable for me. But as soon as we put it out, I noticed people responding to the songs I felt most nervous about, that they were responding to it saying, you know, I really connected to that and thank you. And that made everything worthwhile for me.
Mm-hmm. Which ones were you nervous about?
I think there was a level of nervous about all of them, because whether it was the subject matter or even the way I was singing was different. Like, I pushed myself on Lay It All on Me.
Yeah.
You know, to like open the album like that. I'm like, am I nuts? Is this crazy? And I'm like, but it felt like the right thing to do. So I'm like, I'm just putting it out there.
Take a quick intermission for a word from our sponsor, which is us. Craft Brew Music is a curated streaming service. It's the app that streams better music for serious listeners. Sometimes we hear that people want to hear more of the songs we play on the podcast. If you like what you've been hearing, you need to download the app and get a free trial. We'll help you discover music off the beaten path so that you become the person your friends turn to for recommendations, and we split our income with the artists. It's $5 a month or $50 a year, less than a latte. We're the Small Batch streaming app, available at the App Store and at Google Play. Or to hear samples and find out more about us, visit craftbrewedmusic.com. Right before that, I guess, after Love and Murder and before If You Can't Say Anything Nice, came the single with Jackson Browne. Is that a relationship you'd had or a partnership you'd had, or did that come about for this specific project?
It came about for this specific project. Right after I record, well, let's see, it was 2017, maybe the end of 2017. I was doing a house party in Red Hook. Steve and I were playing duo. And after I finished, and it was one of those house parties that, like, it was a good kind of curated audience. So you never knew who you're going to meet. And Paul Haggis, the director, came up to me and said that he really liked my set. And he's just like, you know, I think your vibe would go well. I'm looking for an original song for a documentary I'm making right now. And he also said, I'm friends with Jackson Browne. Would you be interested in collaborating with him? I'm like,
not really.
I'm like, sure, call me. I'm like, you know, whatever, Hollywood. And so no, I mean, it was really flattering, and I thought it was great, and let's see what happens. And then I got the call about a month later. Okay, well, we've, you know, approved this and that, and Jackson's interested, but why don't you and Steve? I think Jackson was really busy, and he also explains his trepidation for wanting to write a song that tackles such a enormous topic of AIDS. Mm-hmm. And the health and the AIDS crisis of the 80s, you know, and we were just like, well, we're open to working with him. And Steve he had this idea, well, because we were watching the movie, and he had this idea about, you know, human touch, and started writing it. And we kind of made most like a shell of the song, and then passed it on to Jackson. Jackson loved it. And he's like, I can work with this. And then we got together in New York, and then he we worked on it and he added some just brilliant stuff in the song and got it together. And then we recorded it in his studio and Paul loved it and he put it in the movie. And I got invited to sing the song with him last summer on tour with him. We were making the video for it in Santa Fe. His son was directing it. And while we were at the piano, he's just like, you know, it would be, I'm doing this residency at the Beacon in New York City. And why don't you come and sing it like the first night? And I would be, I'd love to. And I did. And that day turned into the week. And then they were like, do you want to just, you know, come on tour with us this summer? I'm like, yeah. So that was pretty cool. I got to sing it with them every night.
Oh, that's great. It's a great song. And it sounds like Aaron saw the documentary and was telling me about it. It sounds really, really powerful.
Yeah. I watched it yesterday.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful film, but I listened to the song and then I was very interested in hearing it in context. And when it comes in at the end as the kind of final little, you know, epilogue bios are coming up for the characters you meet during the movie and the credits come up, it's a powerful moment.
I thought so too. The movie blew me away. It's called 5B, as in that's the first AIDS ward. It's San Francisco General in the early 80s. And I just, it's a beautiful story about the health workers, the nurses who just took such big risks to give these patients love, and they took their hazmat suits off, and it was just it was so well done too. And so I was really, you know, I was thrilled to be a part of that.
From your island, proclaiming only Jesus saves. There will always be suffering, and there will always be pain. But because of it, there'll always be love, and love we know we will remain. Everybody gets more. Some connection, or maybe just their own reflection. Not everybody finds it, not like the two of us. Sometimes all anybody needs is a human touch. Everybody gets lonely.
And you have a new single coming out. Is it this week, next week?
Next week. So last summer. So the record came out in April. And then, of course, all the touring got canceled. And, you know, as we all did, just started doing live streams from our our apartments, bedrooms, living rooms, yeah, wherever. And I was thinking, I'm like, how am I going to play some of these songs? They're like rock and roll songs. I was like, damn it. Mm-hmm. You know, but so I started rethinking the songs. I'm like, oh, I could strip them down, find different ways to play it. And so that's kind of inspired this collection of songs called In the Meantime. They're stripped down versions of some of the album, of some of the songs off the album, plus, you know, a couple of covers that I was doing in my live streams or in my shows. And the three songs from the album are If You Can't Say Anything Nice, Speed of Light, and Lay It All on Me. And then the two covers are John Martin's Head and Heart, and what's coming out next week is Joni Mitchell's People's Parties off Court and Spark. And so I do a little solo version of that song.
Yeah, Kevin slipped us a sneak preview. It sounds great.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was just, you know, in the meantime, it speaks volumes. It's just, you know, like something to do.
Is that a song that you've always had a relationship with, that you've always been playing, or is that a
Joni?
The Joni Mitchell tune.
I was asked to be a part of a Joni Mitchell tribute for like a birthday party at the City Winery a couple of years ago. And I was asked to pick a few songs. And Blue was already taken because this woman in the last set was going to sing all of Blue. And nobody was really doing Court and Spark. And I'm like, oh, I love that. And that's one of, you know, there's a few of her albums, but that's right in the sweet spot, that album. And People's Parties has always been one of my favorite songs off that album, but I've always been a huge Joni Mitchell fan, just huge.
People at this party, they've got a lot of style. Sell stamps in many countries, some have passport smiles. Some are friendly, some are cutting, some are watching them from the wings. Some are standing in the center, giving to get something. Photo beauty gets attention, and her eye paint's running down. She's got a rose in her teeth and a lampshade crown. 1 minute she's so happy, then she's crying on someone's knees, saying laughing and crying, you know it's the same release. I told you when I met you I was crazy. Cry for us all beauty. Cry for Eddie in the corner thinking he's nobody. Then Jack behind his joker. Stone cold Grace behind her fan. Me I'm frightened in silence thinking I don't understand. I feel like I'm sleeping. Can you wake me? You seem to have a broader sensibility. I'm just living on nerves and feelings with a weak and a lazy mind. Coming at people's parties, fumbled and deaf, dumb and blind. Wish I had more sense of humor. Keeping the sadness at bay, throwing the lightness on these things, laughing it all away. Laughing it all away. It all the way.
of the themes that we've heard before talking to artists is that, you know, when you start out and you're raw doing your very first recording, you might sound most like yourself. And then there's this kind of external pressure to sound like other things or to develop your vernacular so you can, you know, exist in a lot of different musical contexts. And then, you know, eventually you get to the point where you need to kind of rediscover your own voice and rediscover, you know, what you were at the start. Do you feel that with this latest album, there's a return home in some respects for you?
I think these little recordings that I do in the meantime feel very homey to me because it's just me solo. Mm-hmm. And anytime I get to do that, you're just, you are with yourself. And, you know, in the meantime reflects that of just, you know, that to me is kind of going home.
Thank you for listening. Craft Brewed Music, both the podcast and the streaming service, has the mission of promoting this music and these artists. We can't do that without ears on the music. So if you like what you've heard here, we're going to ask two small favors. First, tell someone about the podcast. Secondly, go to the App Store or Google Play, download the Craft Brewed Music app, and try a free 2-week trial of the streaming service. For more information, visit us at craftbrewedmusic.com. Thanks again, and see you next time.